was cute, I came to see Bishop. The word of the Lord to you today is Jesus is calling you back. It's not about the bishop. Jesus is calling you. Jesus is calling you. What an honor. He could have chosen anybody, but he chose us. Anybody, but he chose us. Lift your hands like you know him. Lift your hands like you believe him. Lift your hands like you trust him. Lift your hands like you need him. Because if we ever needed the Lord before, we sure do need him in the next 30 days.
We know the broadcast has been a blessing to you, and since it has, feel free to contact us at
662-704-0630. Again, 662-704-0630.
And until our next broadcast, remember, the devil has not forced to tell you that the power of God cannot break. Until our next broadcast, God bless you. From Bishop Kenny Townsend
and Minister Mildred Townsend.
Tell somebody, say, you shall get loaded.
Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3.
Oh, he's a wonder.
He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility for determining your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest and God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective member on this path as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Once again, I give you glory, I give you honor, and I give you the highest praise, Father, for what an awesome God you are. What a mighty God you are, Lord. There's none like you in all the earth, Father, and we just humble ourselves under your mighty hands, my Father, and the ministry of your Holy Spirit, my Father. And we would ask, Lord, that you would use this broadcast, my Father, to enlighten your people, to strengthen your people, to build your people up, my Father. And again, we count it an honor and a privilege, my Father, that you would allow us this opportunity, that you would afford us this opportunity, my Father, to come on this radio broadcast and share with your people the greatest gift of all, Father, and that's your love, my Father. For faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these, my Father, is love, my Father. And we thank you for that, Lord. Now, again, my Father, I humble myself under your mighty hands, and I ask that your Holy Spirit would take full control. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. You're welcome on this broadcast. You're welcome in our lives and our ministries, my Father. And Holy Spirit, we'd ask that you would anoint our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church in this hour. And as always, my Father, it's all for your glory, my Father. Everything that we do is to manifest, Father, and express your glory in this earth. We thank you for the precious gift of your Son, my Father, and for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will continue to do. For you who have begun a good work in us, you're going to complete it. And for that, we say thank you, and we give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Hey, once again, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God out there under the sound of my voice, it's always an honor and a privilege to share with y'all the love of God. You know? That's our assignment, you know. I've been taught from an early age that everything in life has a purpose. There's a purpose for, if you tune into this radio broadcast, then there's a purpose for us. God is a God of purpose. Everything that he does, he has a purpose for us. Everything in life has a purpose. We've said this over and over and over on this radio broadcast, that God is a God of purpose, that everything in life has a purpose, that every purpose is not known, that whenever purpose is not known, then abuse is inevitable. If you ever want to know the purpose for a thing, never ask the thing. Purpose is always found in the maker of the thing. And the last one, there is the fulfillment of life. When we know our purpose, when we know what the purpose is, when we know why we're here, when we know why, you know, what purpose is the original intent for the creation of a thing or the existence of a thing. His original intent, you know. What was God's original intent? You know, that's what purpose is, you know, the purpose of God. What is his original intent? What is his precepts? That's purpose. And everything in life has a purpose. And again, if you tune into this radio broadcast, there's a purpose for it. And the purpose for it is that you might be enlightened, that you might be filled with the knowledge of God's will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, you know. In other words, God wants us to know some things. You know, we've quoted this scripture a lot. You heard this a lot in Christianity that God said in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, he said, my people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You know, it's what we don't know that the enemy uses against us. And, of course, we know our enemy is the devil, you know. So if he can keep us in ignorance or not knowing, or if he can keep us in darkness and not knowing what something is, not knowing why it is, those two things, then maybe he can keep us, man, operating under in his kingdom of darkness. But the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 1 that thanks be unto God who has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the kingdom of ignorance, out of the kingdom of Satan, where his greatest weapon against us is the ignorance, keeping us from the knowledge of it. Because if you don't know some things, then how are you going to operate in it? So the last thing that he wants us to know is the word of God. The last thing that he ever wants us to know is who you are. The last thing that he ever wants you to know is where you come from. And boy, well, this is one of the most important things that he don't ever want you to come to the knowledge of. Why are you here? Purpose. He don't ever want you to know what you can do. He don't ever want us to know where we're going to end up at. Those are mankind's age-old questions. Who are we? Where we come from? Why are we here? What can we do? And where are we going to end up at? Those are mankind's age-old questions. Man has been searching for the answers to those questions, man, from the beginning of the age, ever since the fall. And therein is the fulfillment of life when we know the answer to those questions. And the devil don't ever want us to come to the knowledge of the answers of those questions. And it's because he knows that if we ever come to the knowledge of the answers of those questions, then his rule over our lives is all over. That he can no longer take advantage of us and take us captive at his will. Again, the only way he'd be able to do that is keep us from the knowledge of it. He's not a robber. He's a thief. And a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. How does a thief steal? By keeping you from the knowledge of it. He steals unbeknowingly. As long as he can keep you from the knowledge of it, then he can continue to steal from us. That's why the Bible tells us, don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. Because if so, then he can come and take us captive at his will. And one of his devices is to keep us in darkness, to keep us in ignorance, to keep us from knowing what's really going on. He don't mind us, you know, preoccupied with the means as long as we don't get to the end. He don't mind us majoring in the minor as long as we don't begin to major in the major. He don't mind us, well, you know, preaching the good news about Jesus Christ. He don't even mind us preaching the gospel of our salvation as long as we don't get to the gospel of our restoration. Thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the gospel of salvation. Thank God for all the messages that we hear concerning Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done. And all those are the means. All that's a door. But there's a door into another dimension. And that other dimension that door is to is where all of the kingdom of heaven. And the gospel about this other dimension that this door is to enters into is that this is the gospel about it. What's the other dimension? Well, from out of Egypt through the wilderness all the way over into the promised land. Or let me say it in a different way. Out of the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of God, dear son. Well, let me say it in another way. Out of the kingdom of Satan over into the kingdom of God. Let me say it another way. Out of man, the way of this world, and out of the dictates of Satan and what he's doing and what he set up upon his earth, back over into the world, what God is doing and what he set up on the earth. You know what he set up on the earth? He set up, boy, a garden. He set up an environment, an atmosphere that's conducive to heaven, a little carbon copy of heaven. He called it the Garden of Eden. He set that up on the earth. And, boy, there he placed mankind. And from that place, boy, he told mankind to be fruitful and multiply and make the whole earth just like that little Garden of Eden, which is was a representative of which represented the presence of the law. He put Adam and Eve in the presence, literal presence of the law, in an atmosphere and an environment that's created by that literal presence of the Lord. And he put him in that place. And the good news, boy, that the devil don't ever want you to come to the knowledge of is the restoration message of Jesus Christ. Not just the redeeming message of Jesus Christ. Not just, boy, how he died for our sins and how he rose, boy, early Sunday morning to make sure that we get everything that he died for. But, boy, what he preached and what he said. And what he said and what he preached, and the good news was, that all of this kingdom of heaven, that all of us as Christians and believers in the Lord, you know, that hope to get to and live there forever and ever and ever in the presence of the Lord, the message that he came preaching was this. That place that you're trying to get to, I couldn't have bring it back to you. I couldn't have bring the kingdom of heaven to you. Instead of coming to get you and take you to heaven, I couldn't have bring heaven to you. And here's the gospel about it. I couldn't have brought heaven to you now. That was 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ came to this earth, you know, and walked the shores of Galilee and went about doing good and healing all those who was oppressed of the devil, destroying the works of the devil, casting out devil, healing the sick, and all the great works that he did, you know. That was 2,000 years ago that he came and did those mighty works. And those mighty works that he came to do was to destroy the work of the devil. The Bible says, for this reason was the Son of God manifested, to destroy the works of the devil. What's the work of the devil? Separate us from our souls. Separate us from our sustainer. Separate us from the life of God. Separate us from the Holy Spirit. Separate us from the Word of God. separate us from the knowledge of the truth. Because you know that, boy, if you know the truth, then the truth will set you free. Truth in itself don't set you free. The Bible says you shall know the truth. And the truth that you know will set you free. Set you free from what? From all the onslaughts of the devil. I told you that's what he used against us. You know, if he can keep us from the knowledge of who we are, where we come from, why we here, what we can do, and where we're going to end up at, then he can continue to take us captives at his will. And watch this. And he will deceive, if possible, the very elect. And his greatest weapon against us, another one of his greatest weapons against us, is deception. What is deception? Deception is a little bit stronger than a lie. A deception is a little bit of truth mixed with a lie. And just enough, boy, to get you off of the truth over into that deception. Just like a fisherman do a fish. He deceived the fish. How, Arthur? He put a good bait. The bait is good. The bait is food. The bait is nutritious. The bait is what helps sustain the fish. He put a good bait over an evil hook. And the fish don't see the hook. All the fish see is the good bait. So the fish go after the good bait, which is a good thing, not knowing that under that good bait is an evil hook. And when he get the bait, when he grab a hold of the bait, then that evil hook that's under the bait snatches him out of his natural environment. And boy, he began to cease to exist. That's the same thing that the devil do with us. You know, that's the same thing the devil did to Adam and Eve in the garden. You know, he deceived them. And he tricked them. He makes a little bit of truth with a lie. And just enough, boy, to get them to rebel against the long will of God. What is motive operandi? To separate you from your sword, from your sustainer. To separate us from our Father in heaven. To separate us from the Holy Spirit. Go and pray with Arthur so that if you're separated from the Father and if you're separated from the Holy Spirit, the Bible says the Holy Spirit knows the heart of man and he knows the mind of God. So he can separate us from the Holy Spirit who knows the mind of God and who knows our heart. And he can separate us from more than knowledge of what's really going on or what God is doing. So we have motive operandi, who are the devil. He coming to steal, kill, and destroy. Coming to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, what are you coming to steal first and foremost? He coming to steal knowledge out of your life. He coming to steal the word of God out of your life. He coming to steal the truth from you. Because if he know if he can steal that, then he can take you captive at his will. All he had to do is dangle a circumstance or a situation or a symptom in front of us, and he can cause us to operate like under puppet string control. All he got to do is dangle a circumstance, a situation, or something, and he can make us react to it. And our responsibility is to make him react to us. I tell you, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But boy, Bart said, then the earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And what God is doing in these last days and time, boy, the earth is being filled with the knowledge of his will. He's pouring out upon all flesh, boy, his Holy Spirit. For what purpose? So that we could come back to the knowledge of the truth, so that we could know who God really is, what God is really doing, so that we could know who we really are, where we come from, why we here, what we can do, and where we going to end up in. He don't want you to know that. He don't want you to know that you've been not only redeemed from the curse of the law, he don't want us to know that we've been restored back to our original place and intent and purpose and desire that God has always had for our life, even before the foundation of the world. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, boy, they say, thanks be unto God who chose us, when, Arthur, before the foundation of the world. Listen, we didn't choose him. He chose us. What did he choose? He chose, and when did he choose us? He chose this before the foundation of the world. What did he choose? He chose that we should be holy and without blame, covered in his love. That's in Ephesians chapter 1. Thanks be unto God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, who chose us before the foundation of the world, who covered us with his love. What he did, he chose this before the foundation of the world. What did he choose? Chose that we should be holy and without blame and covered in his love. Who chose that? Our source, our sustainer, our Father, our in heaven. What did he choose about us? What was his original design intent for us? He chose that we should be holy. What do you mean holy? He chose that we should be just like him. The Bible says, be ye holy, for the Lord your God is holy. Oh, so he chose that before the foundation of the world, that we should be just like him in character, in nature, and that we should function like him in likeness. He created us in his image and in his likeness. And then he gave us dominion. He gave us the right to dominate, to manage, to control, to influence what? This earth. With what? With heaven's policies. With heaven's government. With heaven's rule. So in what purpose, God? So that in our territory that he created for us, the earth, that we could colonize our territory with his territory. So that we could make our territory our colony of his territory. So that the same thing that's going on in his territory could be going on in our territory. That is the reason they intend and desire. We pray it all the time. What it is, Lord, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Why? Thy kingdom come. Why, Arthur? Because when thy kingdom come, then thy will can be done. Whose will? Thy will, Father. Many are the plans in the man's heart, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will prevail. That thy will be done. Where, Arthur? On earth. How, Arthur? Just as it is in heaven. What's his will? His will is for it to be in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. He chose that before the foundation of the world. And he chose that we should be holy, just like him, and without blame. There's no condemnation. Cleared of all guilt. Justified. And covered in his love. I mean covered in his love. That's why I tell y'all all the time, boy, it's an honor and a privilege to come on this radio broadcast and share with y'all the love of God. Listen, you have everything pointed unto wrath. The Bible says the Spirit of Jesus said this here in Luke chapter 4. He said the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to recover the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And the Bible says, and he closed the book. Well, listen, he was reading from the book of Isaiah, a prophet from the book of Isaiah, a prophecy. And the strange thing about that prophecy, he found a place where it was written about him. And boy, the way he quoted that scripture, boy, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Who are you talking about, boy? Jesus talking about himself. To do what? To preach the gospel to the poor. What's the gospel to the poor? You don't have to be poor no more. Poor what? In finances, money and all, way more than that. Poor in spirit. Ignorant to a man what's really going on and who God really is and who you really are and where you come from and what you can do and all about us. Ignorance to our true identity. Poor in spirit. What he did, he sent me to preach the gospel to the poor. What's the gospel to the poor? You don't have to be in ignorance no more. Why? Because the truth has come and the light shines. The Bible says the people in darkness saw a great light and it began to shine. Hallelujah. What's that great light? That's illumination. That's information. And not just information, but revelation of that information. How is that revelation revealed, boy? By the Holy Spirit, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What are you doing, other boy? I'm talking about, boy, he's filling us with the knowledge of his will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, boy, so that we could know the truth, so that we could know what is the hope of our calling, so that we could know who we are, so that we could know where we've come from, so that we could know why we're here, so that we could know all the things that we can do. Do you know the Bible says we can do all things that pertains to life and godliness through Christ Jesus, who strengthened us. That even in our weaknesses, in our inabilities, his strength is made available. That we can do all things. We can cast out devils. We can heal the sick. We can preach the gospel to the poor. We can, man, allow through the, by the power of the Holy Spirit, man, bring souls to salvation and into the kingdom of God. That we can win souls to our, not to our denomination, not to our church, not to, but win souls, well, Arthur, to the kingdom of God. Not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Listen, everything that God is doing, boy, he's doing it by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why I say, boy, you say my people are being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Let me make a turn here and go in a different direction. You know, I hear you, Holy Spirit, yeah. You know, most people don't know a lot about the Holy Spirit. You know, the thing that we know about the Holy Spirit, that he's the third member of the doxology. You know, and we know him as the third member of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, we as a church, we know a little bit about the Father God and how he's the creator of the universe and how he created the heavens and the earth and how he worked through the Old Testament saints and everything else. We know about our Father. We know about God as the creator, you know, Elohim, you know. And we also know a little bit about Jesus, how he come, boy, God sent him to the earth, how, boy, he died upon the cross for our sin, and how he rose from the dead for our justification, how he's seated at the right hand of the Father. We know how he opened blind eyes and unstopped deaf ears and cast out devils. We know a little bit about our Father God, the Creator. We know a little bit about our Savior, Jesus Christ. But what about this third member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit? Most thing that we know about him at the church is that he's the third member of the doxology, who the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But we don't know his work. We don't know who he is. The Holy Spirit is a person. We don't know his purpose. We don't know his work. We don't know what he is sent to do. You know, Jesus said something, man, right before he was getting ready to go back up to heaven, to ascend back up to heaven and take his seat at the right hand of the Father. The Bible says he met for the last time with his disciples. And the Bible says, and he breathed on them and said, hey, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. So he breathed upon them, boy. And then at that point, boy, the Holy Spirit was able to come back into the lives and hearts of mankind. What happened, Arthur? Boy, he told him one place, he said, listen, it's more expedient for you, or it's better for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, then the Comforter can't come. And when he comes, he ain't going to testify of himself. He's going to lead you and guide you into the truth of everything that I said. He's going to lead you and guide you into the truth. Then what I said, as I am, so are you. He's going to lead you and guide you into the truth about what I said concerning you, that you can do all things through me. He's going to lead you and guide you into the truth that you can cast out devils, that you can lay hands on the sick, that all of the kingdom of heaven is your inheritance and is available to you now. He's going to lead and guide you into the truth. What you mean the truth? Like true or false? No, into the reality of that. Listen, Jesus never attributed none of those mighty works or miracles. In fact, he never even called them miracles. That he did, he never attributed those things unto himself. Remember I quoted to you Ephesians chapter, or not Ephesians, Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to do this, to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those that are bound, to recover the sight to the blind, to set the captives free, and to proclaim to every man and every woman and every boy and every girl that this is the acceptable year of the Lord, that this is the time, boy, to be saved. This is the time to be redeemed. This is the time to be restored. This is the time, boy, to find out who you really are. Because God has poured out his Spirit upon all flesh. For what purpose? To lead and guide us into the reality of what it means to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. Not that we stay bound up in religion and rituals and ceremonies and traditions and everything else, but that we come past that, all the way behind the veil into the very presence of the Most High God. Listen, you know the Bible says no man come to God except he be drawn by the Spirit of God. We don't know the work of the Holy Spirit. He's the one opening blind eyes. He's the one unstopped deaf ears. He's the one, boy, I'm talking about, give us power over all the powers of our enemy. He's the one that raised the dead. He's the one that lead me to the goodness of the Lord. He's the one that's in work in the earth today. The Father is finished. The Son is finished. The one that's at work in the earth today, man, that's crucial part of the Trinity or the Godhead or doxology, is he that's at work in the earth today, the Holy Spirit. And listen, if you don't, like I say, most of us don't, man, we think we don't know the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit is and why Jesus made a statement like, it's better for you that I go away. And when I go away, then I'm going to send you back the Holy Spirit. That's when the disciples say, Lord, how can it be better for us if you go away? As long as you're with us, we ain't got to worry about nothing. If we get sick, you heal. If our family members get sick, mother-in-law get sick, Lord, you bring healing to them. If we bound up by anything, you deliver. If we hungry, you feed us. Even if we die, boy, just like you did your friend Lazarus, you raise us back to life again. As long as we with you, Lord, we ain't got to worry about a thing. How could it be any, we ain't got to even worry about death. How could it be better? You say, because, hey, listen, it's better for you that I go away, because when I go away, I'm going to send you back the same Spirit, the same Holy Ghost that enables me to do all the things that I do. I'm going to send you back that same Spirit. But what purpose are there? So that we could turn flips and jump and shout and fall out and put on programs and have good seminars and have good church service and all that? No. It might be part of it, a small part of it, but no. I'm going to send you back, boy, to Holy Spirit, why, so that, boy, the same work that I did, you can do also, so that you can carry on the work that the Father sent me to do, so that you can complete the work that the Father sent me to do. Jesus said this, just like the Father sent me, hey, I'm going to send you. Just like the Spirit of the Lord was upon me to do all the mighty things that I did, that same Spirit going to be upon you. The Bible says the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in Jesus. When Jesus Christ was upon the earth, all the fullness of the Holy Spirit was in Jesus. You never heard him talking about it being nowhere else, because by, he was, Jesus Christ was wall to wall Holy Ghost. All of the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in Jesus. No other place in the Bible where you see the Holy Spirit was operating or nowhere else during the time when Jesus Christ was upon his ministry upon the face of the earth. Because why? Because he was full of the Holy Ghost, all of the Godhead dwelt in him. And boy, he enabled Jesus to do the work that he did. The Holy Ghost is the power of God, the ability of God, the enablement of God. He's just as important as the Son. He's just as important as the Father. They all are one. But they all have a work to do in the earth. And the Father did his work. He's the creator. The Son did his work. He gave the creation life. Now the Holy Spirit is the one that's in the earth today. And his job is to lead and guide us into the truth or the reality of what the Father did, what he created, and what the Son did. What the Father did, he created us in his image and his likeness. What the Son did and gave us dominion over all the earth and everything, that, over all the works of his hand. What the Son did, he came to bring us to life. He gave us a life that enables us to do all those things that God created us to do. And what life is there? What bring that life into manifestation? The Holy Spirit. He's the one that ain't working there today. The Bible says, unless the Lord build a house, our labor's in vain. And he's doing it by the Holy Spirit. Everything that he do, he do it, boy, through the Trinity, through the Godhead, the Father, the Son. Who's the Father? That's the source. Who's the Son? That's the life. That's the Word. Who's the Holy Spirit? He's the one who takes, boy, the word that comes to life, that comes from the source and sustainer, the Father, and manifests it in the earth. Remember in the Bible, when the book Bible, in the Bible, the Bible said in Genesis chapter 1, they say, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then there's a period there, you know. And then in verse 2, it says, and the earth became void and without shape, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Then the next passage said this, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the deep, just laid over all this, that that God had created, whether it became chaotic and out of order and everything else, the first thing that took place was the Spirit of the Lord moved on the scene, the Holy Ghost. And the next thing, and I mean, he just hoovering out. He was just brewing over. He was just there, you know. And but he waiting on something. Waiting on what, boy? And the next verse said this, and God said. What are you waiting on? He waiting on the Word of God. And when God said, light be, then the Holy Spirit took what the Word of God, the life that's in the Word, and manifested it in the earth. Who's that word? That's the Trinity. That's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. What the Father is, he's the source and sustainer. What the Son is, he's the life of the Father. What the Son is, he's the Word of the Father. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word is God, and was God. And in him was life. In who? In the Word was life. What kind of life? Zoe life. What kind of life is Zoe life? The life of God. Life in the absolute sense. Life the way God lives, and life the way God intended for you and I to live. And this is life eternal, boy, that we might know him. Know who our Father in heaven. Not be ignorant of him. And that we might know Jesus Christ, who he sent. Right. That's the life eternal. The Bible says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. Full of grace and full of truth. Who is that, boy? That's the life that's in the Word. How that life manifested again, Father, not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit, said the Lord. How art? By the power of the Holy Ghost. And I believe, boy, listen, that's what God is doing through this radio broadcast and through other ministries, you know, that he's raising up all across the globe, boy, for what purpose, Arthur? So that, boy, we might be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Listen, it's not my assignment to build a church. It's my assignment, boy, listen, to exalt the church. You see, I give you gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for what? For the protecting of the saints. To perfect you, to train you up, to teach you, to show you, to enlighten you, to put you on course toward God's destiny for your life. And as you put you on course, you go from glory to glory to glory to glory. How? By illumination, by light, by information, and revelation knowledge of that information. That's only revealed by the Holy Ghost. See, the church have a lot of knowledge of the Word of God, but what my concern is do they have the revelation of that knowledge that they have? That's only revealed by the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, you know, you have knowledge, and there are two types of knowledge. There's sense knowledge that comes from our five sense reasoning, and then there's revelation knowledge. That's boy revealed, knowledge that's revealed by the Holy Spirit. That kind of knowledge. Well, again, I pray for this broadcast, boy, that you might be filled with the revelation knowledge of God. Because you might know beyond what your church is doing, what your denomination is doing, what your belief system and that you're operating in is doing, what religion is doing, what your preacher is doing, you know, what you're doing. Into the reality of what God is doing. That's the revelation knowledge. Jesus said it this way, listen, if you seek first the kingdom of God, what's the kingdom of God in simple terms? What God is doing. I ain't talking about what my church is doing. I'm not talking about what my denomination is doing. I'm not talking about what Peter, James, and John are doing. I'm not talking about, man, what Isaiah was doing, what the Old Testament characters was doing. All that was good and all that's great and all that has its place and everything else. But I'm talking about God. What God is doing. What he's doing. And you know what he's doing in this day and hour? He's drawing all men unto him. He's seeking and saving the lost. He's bringing men and women into the knowledge of the truth on who he really is, who his son really is, and why his son came to this earth, and who the Holy Spirit really is, and what his role is, and his purpose in the earth is, in this day and this hour. You know, no man can come to God except he be drawn by the Spirit of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit has an active role in everything that the Father and the Son do. In other words, boy, he's the power of God. He's the one who manifests. For what purpose, Arthur? So that, boy, the glory of the Lord can be revealed. What you mean the glory of the Lord could be revealed? So that, boy, the full weight of glory. So that everything, the whole earth could be filled, boy, with God's will, with God's desire, with God's character, with God's nature, with God's attribute, with God's likeness, with God's love, with God's peace, with God's joy, with God's salvation, with God's righteousness. So the whole earth could be filled with God's power, with God's ability. How art through us? How through us, Arthur? By the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, it's better for you that I go away. Because when I go away, then I'm going to send you back to Comforter. And he's going to lead and guide you into all truth. Over in the book of Acts, you know, Jesus telling you, at first, and Jesus was telling them, go and make disciples of all men and teach them what I taught you. And lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. But then I saw something over in the book of Acts in chapter 1, and Jesus was saying this. He said, listen, even though he told him to go, but he told him something else. He said, but before you go, wait, tarry in Jerusalem, until you receive power from on high, and then you shall be a witness, watch this, not for me, but a witness unto me. Let me read something to you. Acts chapter 1. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them, this is Jesus, right before he was getting ready to go up. The Bible says this, you know, that he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That's Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Listen, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, this is how he began his ministry, at the beginning of it. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's at the beginning of his ministry. And all through his ministry, boy, he was preaching, boy, about this kingdom of heaven that was available to us right now. The kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like a 10 virgin. The kingdom of heaven is like a sword went out the soul. The kingdom of heaven, and like a little leaven, the kingdom of heaven. And all these things he was telling them was about the functioning principle of the kingdom. So all through his ministry, he was proclaiming just one message, boy, the kingdom of heaven. But it was a gospel about this kingdom of heaven that he was proclaiming to the people. It was a good news about this gospel that he was proclaiming to the people. From the beginning of his ministry, all through his ministry, the good news was that that's available to us now. Not in the sweet by and by, now. Healing is available to us now. Deliverance is available to us now. the life of God is available to us now. Righteousness is available to us now. Power over all the power of our enemies is available to us now. Peace in the Holy Ghost and joy unspeakable and full of glory and dominion and power and might and authority is available to us now. That the restoration to God's original plan and purpose and destiny for our lives is available to us. We and others now. That's the gospel. That's the good news about it. That it's available to us now. So all through his ministry, you know, he was preaching men about this kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God that was available to us now. Even at the end of his ministry, right before they crucified him, boy. Remember what Paul said? They are you a king? Jesus said, it is as you say I am, but my kingdom is not of this world. Well, if my kingdom was of this world, boy, my father sent a legion of angels, probably they'll wipe you out. So at the beginning of his ministry, he was preaching the kingdom of God. All through his ministry, he had one message, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. At the end of his ministry, man, right before his crucifixion, he's still talking about, boy, the kingdom of heaven. Listen, even after his death and his burial, and his resurrection, he's still talking about the same thing. What verse 3 said again? To whom he showed himself. This is after he had risen from the dead. And the Bible says he showed himself in many different ways as proof, being seen for 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, even after the end of his ministry, after his death and burial and resurrection, boy, he still preaches one message, boy, things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And verse 4 says this, and being assembled together with them, that's his disciples, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you have heard of me. What promise? He said, the promise of the Holy Ghost. For the one truly baptized you with water, verse 5, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will I at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Even they didn't even understand why, because they get the power of the Holy Ghost. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the things or the season which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive, watch this, verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. What he said, he told the man, phrase in Mark chapter 16, man, he told the man, go into all the world and make disciples of all men and teach them all things that I taught you, and Lord, I'll be with you always. That's in Mark 16. In John chapter 20, right before he get ready to go, he gathers them together, and he breathed on them and said, hey, receive ye the Holy Spirit. What that is, that's the promise from the Father. Receive ye the Holy Spirit, why? So that the works that I do, you shall do also, how? By the same power that was on the inside of me, the same spirit that enabled me, the same spirit that strengthened me, the same spirit that was upon me, that anointed me to do the things that I did, I'm going to send you back to that same spirit. So now instead of the devil contending with two hands and two feet and one mouth, now he's going to be contending with a whole bunch of hands and feet and mouth. So the work that I do, shall you do also, and greater works shall you do. Why? Because I'm going to the Father. And as I go to the Father, then, boy, that same spirit, that same anointing, that same ability, that same power, that same person of the Holy Ghost, that same one who lead and draw all men unto the Father, that same one who enables us, that same one who placed the ability of Almighty God on the inside of all of us, that same one that do the work in me will be in you too. Why? So that the works that I do, shall you do also. What is he, boy? He's the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. And notice what he says. Tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. And then you shall be a witness unto me. And listen, if we're not careful, without that and without knowing and understanding what's going on, then instead of being a witness unto Jesus, then all we are as a church is a witness for Jesus. What's the difference, Arthur? A witness for Jesus is when we go and we testify of Jesus. We witness for Jesus. We preach and we teach and we tell and we exalt about how Jesus opened blind eyes, how Jesus unstopped death ears, how Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, how Jesus preached the kingdom of God, how Jesus, man, you know, had power over all the power of the devil, how Jesus rose from the dead, how Jesus, man, all about Jesus, man, that's a witness, man, for Jesus. But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, hey, you tarry in Jerusalem until you receive this power from on high. And when you receive this power from on high, you're not only going to be a witness for me, you're going to be a witness unto me. What's the difference? A witness for Jesus is talking about all Jesus did. A witness unto Jesus is doing what Jesus did. That's why he said, boy, the works that I do, shall you do also. You shall preach the gospel of the kingdom. You shall open blind eyes. You shall unstop deaf ears. You shall heal a broken hearted. You shall proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You shall raise the dead. You, Chill. Carry on, boy, what the Father sent me to establish and start and begin, what? The restoration of his kingdom back on the earth. You shall do that. How are the, by the power of the Holy Ghost? He's the one that's at work in the earth today. And without the power of the Holy Ghost, and without men, us carrying in Jerusalem until we receive that power from on high, then all we can be is just a witness for Jesus. But Jesus said this. And he told them, when he told them disciples to go, he said, you go. He sent them out two by two. And he told them, cast out devils. He gave a specific instruction. He said, go preach the kingdom of God like the Father sent me to preach. And when you preach the kingdom of God, cast out devils and heal the sick. And the Bible says they came back rejoicing. Why? Because, boy, he said, even the devils are subject to us, boy. The sick getting healed and the people that have the gospel of the kingdom preached unto them. They came back successful. And, boy, they were rejoicing and excited, man, that they had power over all the powers of the enemy and that they could be ambassadors or representatives of Christ himself, of Jesus himself, that the work that he was doing, they was enabled to do also. And Jesus told him this, well, you think that's something. To you it's a miracle, but boy, listen, when the spirit of truth come and he be upon you, there won't be no miracle. They're going to be just like natural things. That's how it's supposed to be, natural things. Those things you're supposed to do naturally. Why? Because that's how the Father created you and gave you dominion and gave you power. What? Over all the powers of your hand, over all the works of his hand, over everything, power over the devil, power over all the demons, power over sickness, power over poverty, power over hatred, power over sin, power over all the powers of your enemy. And he said, nothing shall by any means harm you. Even if you drink any deadly thing, it won't even harm you. In other words, boys, he gave you power over your greatest enemy, death. He crucified him, baby, and he got up. And then he turned around and said, Lord, just like I got up, the same spirit that raised me from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body, raise you from the dead too. You know, when Jesus Christ was doing up on the earth, boy, he came for two things, more than ever, two major things. He came to show us, boy, the Father. He came to show us, boy, who the Father is. He came to show us God. He came to show us the character and the nature of God. He came to show us the likeness of God, what God is like, his character, his nature. And he came to show us how God functions, boy. He functioned like God. He acted like God. He talked like God. He walked like God. He say, show us the Father. Jesus say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so he come to show us the Father. And that, and the second thing he come to show us, he come to show us us. He come to show you who you are. He come to show you you. Not only did he come to show us, boy, the Father, God, but he come to show us us. He come to show us who we are. He didn't just come to show us who our Father is, but he come to show us who we are. He said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen you. Why? Because, boy, God created you in his image and his likeness, and I'm created in his image and his likeness. I'm just like my Father. And you just like me, your Father. You just like me, and I'm just like my Father, and we are just like our Father. But you lost that identity. That's why I say you don't know who you are. You don't know where you come from. You don't know why you're here. You don't know what you can do. You don't know where you're going to end up at. You think you're going to end up, man, and spend eternity in heaven, man, with God forever and ever and ever. That's not our eternal destination. That's not what the Word of God teaches us. That's not what the Holy Spirit is, the truth that the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding us into. He's leading us and guiding us into the truth and the reality of what God is really doing. He said he give you power over all the power of your enemy and over all the works of his hand. And he said, you shall reign on the earth forever. And it shall be on earth like it is in heaven. You go into heaven, and you're going to spend eternity in heaven, but you're going to spend eternity in heaven on earth. When God is finished, boy, it's going to be on earth like it is in heaven. You've been praying it all your life. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. How long, Arthur? Forever. That's God's original intent. That's God's original desire. That's God's original purpose. as God's original reason for our existence and the existence of the earth, so the earth might be a colony of heaven. And the way he's getting that done is through his family of sons called mankind. And the way he's getting it done through his family of sons called mankind is not by power nor by might, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why I say, boy, listen, there's a going on in God. You got to go past the door. Jesus said, I'm the door. Past the door into what? Into all of the kingdom of heaven that's all in heaven that's available to us now. And then once you get go behind the door, then, boy, then you come under the anointing and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Then you say of the Lord, just like Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Then our preaching and our teaching won't just be with enticing words of our knowledge and our wisdom, but it'll be in demonstration and in power. Listen, the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall heal the sick. Who? You. Me. Paul say, my preaching and my teaching and my speech is not just with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it's in demonstration and in power. That's why Jesus told him, tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. And then you're going to be just a witness for Jesus. You're going to be a witness unto Jesus. What do you mean? So that the works that he did, we can do also. What he did, he went about doing good, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, seeking and saving the lost, casting out devils, healing all manner of sickness and disease, and restoring, boy, the kingdom of heaven back to the earth, destroying the works of the devil. What was the work of the devil? Separate us from our souls, from our true identity, from who we really are, what we really have, what we really can do, and where we really going to end up at. He don't want you to know that. He want to keep you in darkness. He want to keep you, man, in religion. He want to keep you, man, under traditions and rituals and ceremony. He want to keep you, man, he want to keep you having church at the expense of never becoming the church. You don't mind you having good church. You don't mind you shouting. You don't mind your emotions getting stirred up. You don't mind, boy, the minister, man, articulating the message in a way to where it stirs up your emotions, your intellect, and everything else. You don't mind you having good church, as long as you don't learn, boy, how to be the church. As long as you don't come to the revelation knowledge that you are the church, glory to God. And you don't ever come to the knowledge of how to be who you are, the church, the called out ones of God, and what's the purpose for his church. What's the reason for his church? What's the reason why you are called out ones of God? Called out for what? To have good church and put on good programs and operate under rituals and ceremonies and traditions of men and everything else? No. So that, man, we can go about doing the same thing Jesus did, destroying the works of the devil. Not just preaching with enticing words of our wisdom and knowledge and stirring up with each other's emotions and making you feel good or feel something, but restoring to us, man, our original power and authority and dominion and might. How, Arthur? By the power of the Holy Ghost. So for what purpose, Arthur? So that, boy, the signs and wonders, just like the signs and wonders followed Jesus and caused the multitude to throng after him, so the same thing might happen, boy, in us, that signs and wonders might follow us. So that signs and wonders might follow us. So that signs and wonders, what signs and wonders? So that the sick might be healed. The lame might walk. The blind might see. The dumb might talk. Those who are bound up, man, might be loosed. Every need might be met. That you come to the knowledge that no matter what adversity that you might face in this earth that we live in now, boy, that everything is all right. Why? Because you no longer under the puppet strain control.